In fact, if Joshua had met him in the flesh back down on Lalonde's spaceport, he probably wouldn't have accepted him as a passenger, no matter how much money was stashed in his credit disk. Too late now. Although, thankfully, Dexter had spent most of his time alone in his cabin down in Capsule C, venturing out only for meals and the bathroom. That was one of his more rational quirks. After he'd come on board, he had given the compact bulkheads a quick suspicious look and said, "I'd forgotten how much mechanization there is on a starship." Forgotten? Joshua couldn't work that one out at all. How could you forget the way a starship looked? Yet the oddest thing of all was how inept Dexter was at free-fall manoeuvring. Had he been asked, Joshua would have said that the man had never been in space before, which was ridiculous because he was a travelling sales manager, one who didn't have neural mnemonics, and one who wore a frightened expression the whole time. There had even been occasions when Joshua had caught him flinching from some sudden metallic sound rattling out of the capsule systems or the creak of the stress structure as they were under acceleration. Of course, given Lady Mac's performance during the voyage, that part of Dexter's behaviour was almost understandable. Joshua had experienced enough nasty moments on the flight himself. It seemed like there wasn't a system on board that hadn't suffered from some kind of glitch since they boosted out of Lalonde's orbit. What should have been a simple four-day trip had stretched out to nearly a week as the crew tackled power surges, data dropouts, actuator failures, and dozens of smaller niggling malfunctions. Joshua hated to think what was going to happen when he handed over the maintenance log to the Confederation Astronautics Board's inspectors. They'd probably insist on a complete overhaul. At least the jump nodes had functioned, though he'd never begun to have his doubts about them. He datavised the flight computer to unfold the thermodump panels and extend the sensor booms. Fault alerts jangled in his mind. One of the thermodump panels refused to open past halfway, and three booms were jammed in their recesses. "Jesus!" he snarled. There were mutters from the rest of the crew strapped into their bridge couches on either side of him. "I thought you fixed that fucking panel," Joshua shouted at Warlow. "I did," the answer thumped back. "If you think you can do any better, put on a suit and get out there yourself." Joshua ran a hand over his brow. "See what you can do," he said sullenly. Warlow grunted something unintelligible and ordered the couch's straps to release him. He pushed himself towards the open hatchway. Ashley Hansen freed himself too and went after the Cosmonique to help. Sensor data was coming in from the booms, which were functional. The flight computer started tracking nearby stars to produce an accurate astrogration fix. Norfolk, with its divergent illumination, looked unusually small for a Terra-compatible planet. Joshua didn't have time to puzzle that. The sensors reported laser radar pulses were bouncing off the hull, and a Voidhawk distortion field had locked on. "Jesus, now what?" Joshua asked, even as the astrogration fix slipped into his mind. Lady Mac had translated 290,000 kilometers above Norfolk, way outside the planet's designated emergence zone. He groaned out loud and hurriedly datavised the communication dish to transmit their identification code. The Confederation Navy ships patrolling Norfolk would start using Lady Mac for target practice soon. Norfolk was almost unique among the Confederation's Terra-compatible planets in that it didn't have a strategic defense network. There was no high-technology industry, no asteroid settlements in orbit, and consequently there was nothing worth stealing. Protection from mercenaries and pirate ships wasn't needed, except for the 2 weeks every season when the starships came to collect their cargo of Norfolk tiers. As the planet moved towards midsummer, a squadron from the Confederation Navy's 6th Fleet was assigned to protection duties paid for by the planetary government. It was a popular duty with the crews. After the cargo starships departed, they were allowed shore leave, where they were entertained in grand style, and all the crews were presented with a special half-sized bottle of Norfolk tears by the grateful government. The Lady Macbeth's main communication dish servos spun round once, then packed up. Power loss signals appeared across the schematic. The flight computer was datavising into Joshua's brain. "I don't fucking believe it. Sarah, get that bastard dish sorted out." Out of the corner of his eye, he saw her activate the console by her couch. He routed the Lady Mac's identification code through her omnidirectional antenna. An intership radio channel came alive, and the communication console routed the data bytes into Joshua's neural mnemonics.